The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 29 to 35. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, today's Psalm of King David says this, "Find rest, my soul." David is talking to his own heart. He says, "Find rest, my soul, in God alone, no place else. My hope comes from Him." Before we get there, though, if you look at the gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, you will see and maybe wonder why it is that the Lord has such an issue with a fellow in the gospel lesson. Now, every Christian person wants to hear the Lord say to them on the last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." But here the Lord says to the man, "You fool. You fool. Tonight your life will be demanded from you, and who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, if you think about that for a little bit and think about it maybe a little bit outside of the box, you're going to come to the conclusion that the Lord is angry with this man. He is angry with the man because the man doesn't want to get rich. It's a little like our collect or prayer of the day where we prayed that among the many changes of this world, our heart may be set where true joys are to be found, and that's not true for this man. See, the Lord wants to make him rich. He wants to make him rich beyond his dreams. He wants to make him rich beyond what he can ask or imagine, and the man doesn't want to become rich. He just wants to make money. He doesn't want to become rich. He just wants to expand his business. He doesn't want to become rich. He wants to increase his sales. He doesn't want to become rich. He wants to develop his markets. He does not want to become rich. He wants to build more warehouses for his goods. He does not want to become rich. He wants to retire early and live on his boat and travel the world. He wants all these other things, but he doesn't want to get rich. Today's epistle lesson speaks of similar sorts of motivations that people have. It speaks of a person who may just want to buy things or possess things or rejoice over their acquisitions or, on the flip side, weep over their losses. A person who just wants to get married, who just wants to please their spouse, who just wants to have kids, who just wants to have grandkids. Or the guy in the gospel lesson who says what? Jesus is teaching, he is preaching God's holy word, and the man interrupts the sermon and he shouts out and he says, "Teacher, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Divide. What an interesting word, because the real issue here is not what needs to get divided, but what is already divided. In today's lesson, it says simply, he, that man, was divided. Because he's faced with two things that he's divided over. In front of him, as he sits in church, is God, the Son of God, Jesus our Savior, and Jesus is there to give him salvation and the forgiveness of sins and pardon for all his sins and the cross and eternal life and the glories of heaven beyond what we can ask or imagine. And that is all the things that Jesus has for him in one hand. But in the other hand is his parents' will. And they have just died, one or the other, or maybe both at the same time. They have both died, and it is clearly spelled out in this will. It is duly signed, and it is witnessed, and it is notarized that half of the estate belongs to me, and my brother has no right to contest that, because this is an issue of rights, right versus wrong, fairness versus unfairness. And not only that, there's a lot of money here. And frankly, I could use it to pay some of the bills, and I got kids I got to send to college. This is not right. And so what happens? Jesus or the estate? Jesus or the estate? And what does the man do? Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Divide it with me. And the man himself is divided. Now, it is easy to read that lesson or to read the second lesson for today and raise a cry of protest, and you say to yourself, what is all of this talk? I don't quite get it. This talk about being married or not being married or rejoicing or not rejoicing or possessing or not possessing. And maybe the words of our Lord Jesus will help us here, because he said, and you know the words, where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will be also. He says, you want to look for your heart? Don't go to the doctor and look over here on an x-ray. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. And see, the Lord wants you to be rich too, and he wants me to be rich too. Rich beyond our dreams, rich beyond what you can ask, rich beyond what you can imagine. He wants to give you gates of pearl and streets of gold and the tree of life and the river of the water of life and no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And Jesus actually said, he said, look, I'm going ahead of you and I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can have all of that. You've already got reservations because of the shed blood of my cross, so that among the many changes of this world, your heart may be set where true joys are to be found. And then he says, if that's how you want to be rich, then it's going to change how you approach your time here. Mostly what it's going to do is eliminate your assumptions. Because what we do is operate on a lot of assumptions. Mostly what it's going to do is going to get you to think differently. Am I going to be married or not married? I'll leave that with the Lord. Do I have children or no children? I'll leave that with the Lord. Grandchildren, no grandchildren? I'll leave that with the Lord. Rejoice or not rejoice? That's with the Lord. Weep or not weep? Same thing. I have a smooth time in this life or not such a smooth time? Buy or possess things or not buy or possess things? I leave that with the good Lord. It's true, we make a lot of assumptions. We don't call them assumptions. We call them goals, or we call them priorities, or we call them plans. And it's not easy to remember that the Lord also has a plan too. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There's a goal. The goal is to be rich with the eternal riches that God promises, the things that God gives. And so the question becomes, what is going to contribute to that in my life? And what is going to hinder that? What is going to take me further along the path to life, or what's going to distract me from that? There's lots of distractions. Look at the psalm for today. King David says what? Psalm 62. He's distracted in his faith. He's biting his nails. He's filled with worry because all of his enemies and all of his opponents. Or you look at Jonah in the first lesson. Jonah was greatly distracted, wasn't he? Matter of fact, he was so distracted by his fears and his worries that what did he do? He bought passage on a ship and he tried to run from God. Ended up someplace else than what the Lord would have for him. And so you have the lesson for today, our second lesson. St. Paul says what? He says, now this I say for your very own benefit. Not to hurt you, but for your benefit. Not that I should place a restriction upon you. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other thing. But rather with the goal of proper and undistracted devotion to the Lord. In another place, he would put it simply. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. What is helping me on the journey to life, the rich life that God has waiting for me, and what is proving to be a hindrance, and a distraction to me? What is my prayer? Jesus, you tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And the Lord says, you fool, tonight your life will be demanded from you. And who will get what you've prepared for yourself? The question is, what has God prepared for me? Maybe what have I prepared for me? That's not the important thing. What has the Lord prepared for me? Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. Rich beyond your dreams. Rich beyond what you can imagine. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, tree of life, water of life. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And that's a good thing too, because today's lesson, the present form of this world is passing away. It's going by the wayside. What do you have beyond this? Well, what did we pray? We said, Almighty and everlasting God, you make the minds of your faithful people to be of one will. Grant to us, your people, that we may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be set where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And so we say with King David, find rest, my soul, where? With God alone. Find rest, my soul. My hope comes from him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.